Well, here we go. Cold morning, Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day. Hopefully that's not news to you, especially fellow guys. This is a chance for us, I guess, to express our love to one another. And in light of it being Valentine's Day, and especially I think with everything going on in our world today, and division that we hear about all the time and that we can even experience in our own lives, I thought it would be appropriate this morning for us and good for us to spend some time talking about the importance of love. Okay, so Valentine's Day, we think about love. I think the kind of love that we usually think about on Valentine's Day is romantic love, is kind of what comes to mind, love between a man and a woman. But if you look at where Valentine's Day comes from, you see a different kind of love as well. So Valentine's Day is linked to a priest named Valentine or Valentinus. I'm just going to call him Valentine because that seems a little more comfortable to me. Here's a picture of him up here that somebody thinks he looks like. I don't know where they get that from, but gives you something to look at. In an article on inspiration.org, Dr. Craig von Busick writes this. So this is what I learned about the legend of Valentine. It's believed that Valentine was a priest serving Rome under Emperor Claudius II. And at that time, Rome was embroiled in many costly and unpopular military campaigns, and as a result, the emperor was finding it difficult to recruit soldiers to maintain and replenish his armies. Claudius, the emperor, came to believe that Roman men were unwilling to join the army because of affection for and obligation to their wives and families. And so to overcome this obstacle, Claudius banned all marriages and engagements in Rome. As a Christian leader, Valentine knew the edict flew in the face of biblical teaching and doctrine regarding the sanctity of marriage and of the family. Recognizing the injustice of the decree, he defied the emperor and continued to secretly perform marriages for young lovers. The church thought that marriage was very sacred between one man and one woman for their life, and that it was to be encouraged. That idea of encouraging them to marry within the Christian church was what Valentine was about, and he secretly married them because of the edict. Well, Valentine was arrested by Claudius and placed into the custody of an aristocrat named Asterius. As the story goes, Asterius made the mistake of letting the preacher talk. Father Valentine went on and on about Christ leading pagans out of the shadow of darkness and into the light of truth and salvation. Asterius made a bargain with Valentine. If the Christian could cure his foster daughter of blindness, he would convert. Valentine put his hands over the girl's eyes and chanted, "Lord Jesus Christ, enlighten your handmaid because you are God, the true light." According to the legend, a miracle took place and the child could see. As a result, Asterius and his whole family were baptized. Unfortunately, when the emperor heard the news, he ordered them all to be executed. The last words from Valentine were found in a note to Asterius's daughter, signing it, "From your Valentine." All right, so that's where the legend of Valentine, that's where some of the roots of Valentine's Day come from. And according to that legend, Valentine was dedicated, of course, to encouraging Christian romance and marriage, as you could hear in that story, but he was also dedicated to Christian service. So he served the people around them in different ways, as pointed out in this story, and he served to the point that it eventually cost him his life. And that's the aspect of love that I want to focus on this morning, because that kind of love is central to who Jesus is and to who we are to be as Christians. And that kind of love is something that I think is largely lacking and needed right now among Christians and churches. So we've experienced a lot of turmoil this past year that's brought a lot of fear, and it's brought a lot of tension in our lives and in relationships. And as we all clearly know by now, Christians have different opinions about things that are very volatile that are related to the pandemic and politics and the elections. And many of us have, you know, if you will picture, we've backed into our corners to defend our positions and then resist anyone who may disagree and even resist fellow believers. And I've heard many of you talk about the division that it's brought in your very in your very own families. It's brought division in workplaces, and it's brought division in churches, even here at East Lincoln. And I believe that that kind of division grieves the heart of God. And sometimes I think Christians don't know what else to do, okay? We hear things on the news, we're afraid, we back into corners, we defend, we resist, and don't know what else to do. We think that what we're doing and doing that is the right thing to defend and resist, and we're convinced that our perspectives are right, and we have to fight for it. This morning, I want to urge us to break out of the corners, okay? I encourage us to break out of those corners and follow a path forward that will be far closer to the heart of who Jesus was and what he wants us to do as his followers. Jesus showed his 12 disciples how he wanted them to move forward near the end of his teaching with them, the end of his earthly ministry as he was completing his training with them. He showed them the pathway to move forward, and I believe he wants us as his followers today to follow that same pathway forward, even in light of the circumstances we find ourselves in this past year and today. So in his last night before Jesus was crucified, he met with his disciples in the upper room of a house in Jerusalem, and he used that time as a vital teaching opportunity. The Apostle John was there that evening, and he writes most extensively about what Jesus said to them and what he taught. And I want to look at the first part of what Jesus taught them that we find in John chapter 13. So please go with me to John chapter 13. There's kind of two themes in here. I'm going to be following one theme in this chapter, but I'm going to be skipping verses along the way because the other theme has to do with Judas Iscariot and his betrayal of Jesus. I'm not going to focus on those verses, so you'll notice I skip around a little bit in this chapter this morning because I'm skipping those verses. Let's read verses 1 through 5 to begin in John chapter 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Okay, and now John describes how Jesus did that. So this is how Jesus loved them. Verse 2, during supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, verse 4, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. And so according to John, this is how Jesus loved them to the end. He loved them by washing their feet. And this was a very, very strange thing for Jesus to do. In Gill's exposition of the Bible, he writes this: this custom of washing the feet was not used by the Jews at their Passover. So it wasn't normal for a Passover meal for that to happen, nor at the private entertainments or common meals. So it just wasn't something that normally took place in that circumstance. Gill says that this custom was used at the reception of strangers or travelers, which were just come off of a journey whereby they had contracted dirt and filth, and was a servile work never performed by superiors to their inferiors, but by inferiors to their superiors, as by the servant to his master and was an instance of great humility. So that's what the custom was for washing feet. And when Jesus then on that evening, in that occasion, bent down to wash his disciples' feet, it was very abnormal, very strange thing for him to do. They were not expecting a foot washing at all that evening, and they certainly weren't expecting that it would come from their master and their teacher. If anybody should be washing anyone's feet that evening, it should be them washing Jesus' feet. That would have been at least somewhat normal. And Peter was really thrown off by it. You probably remember this if you've read through John 13. I'm not going to read these verses, but basically when it came Peter's turn, he was so thrown off by what Jesus was doing that he said, "You shall never wash my feet." It just seemed wrong to him that Jesus, their master, would be on the ground in front of him washing his feet. But Jesus insisted, telling him, "What I'm doing, you don't understand right now, but afterward you will understand." So why would he do something so strange? Why would he act like a servant to them when he was their master? So he went from one disciple to the next, and I like to just picture that. He's going around the table. They would have been reclining on the floor, but he's washing each of their feet, one from the next. And it was such a situation that he had their attention. And it doesn't say that he said anything about what he was doing other than his interchange with Peter, but he's washing their feet, one to the next, going around, not saying anything. He's got their attention. What is he doing? And after drying the feet of the last disciple, he explained what he was doing in verses 12 through 17. So skip over there, John 13, 12 through 17. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If I then, your teacher, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." Okay, I underline that maybe. "You also ought to wash one another's feet." Verse 15, "For I have given you an example, that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." So why did he do that? Why do something so strange? Jesus did that evening to show them an example. He wanted to give them an example that they would never forget. It was so out of the ordinary, that's something they'd picture, and because he went around the table and washed all of their feet, they would remember that evening and his example. And Jesus tells them that this example that I'm showing you is an example of how I want you to treat one another. Jesus wanted them to wash one another's feet. I think generally speaking, he wants them to take on the form of a servant in their treating of one another, to lower themselves before each other, before one another, and willingly serve one another. That's the kind of love that characterized Jesus' life. As you look at his ministry throughout the New Testament, Jesus didn't just sit and teach. He did that, but he went to the crowds. He showed compassion. He served. He got dirty. He got sweaty. He gave up sleep. He gave up comfort to serve the people, and especially to serve his disciples. If they were going to be his followers, then that's the kind of love they would have to show to one another. I mean, this is big stuff, you have to realize. This is last night before the crucifixion. As Jesus is teaching his disciples, there's a few things that he taught them in that upper room, and this is a big one. Those disciples would face a lot of turmoil in their world. If you want to compare them with us, they would face a lot of turmoil. Where would that turmoil come from? It would come from the religious leaders who would be persecuting them. It would come from their government who would be putting pressure on them and opposing them, and they would feel tension. And do you think that they might have different opinions about how they should respond? I would guess that they did. Somebody pointed out to me a couple weeks ago that one of them was a tax collector for the Romans. Another one of them was a zealot, a leader of the resistance group, if you will. I think they're probably going to have different opinions about how they should respond to the pressure they were feeling in their world that day. I'm sure that they probably had disagreements with one another. So how in the world is Jesus going to prepare his disciples for how to face that kind of tension? What should their posture be in their relationships with one another in the midst of it? Should they back into their corners and defend their opinions and resist any who disagree? No. No, actually, they should get down on their hands and knees and wash one another's feet. That's a whole lot different. That's what Jesus wanted them to do. If they didn't learn how to love one another and serve one another, the church would be destroyed. How long do you think it would last? Not very long. It would have been over. So as he prepared them for what was ahead, he taught them to wash one another's feet. And he finished in verses 34 and 35. So let's skip over to those verses. Okay, there's a lot of stuff in between here about Judas, but I want to stay with the same theme. Verses 34 and 35, this is when Jesus comes back to talking about the whole foot washing thing. He says this, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you," and I think we have to link that to the washing of the feet that he just did. "Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." And then listen to this in verse 35. "By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Okay? Love one another like I have loved you. Wash one another's feet. Serve one another. The thing that people should notice about you, my disciples, is your love for one another. Not your arguing that they would be tempted. They argued before that. I'm sure they would argue after that. Not your differences. Love is how they will know that you're my disciples and that you belong to me. Because I am love. So hopefully I don't have to say a lot more this morning. I mean, as I was studying that this week, it was hitting me pretty hard. The characteristic that should define us as Christians is the love that we have for one another. Obviously, it goes beyond that too, but this is about love for one another. When people hear about us, they should think, those people really love each other. Okay, I think when they see our ad in the paper, when they hear the announcement on WPCA, when they see the advertisement coming out for Hope Alive or for the Easter egg hunt or whatever, they should think, oh, those people really love each other. They should think about ways they've heard about that we've shown kindness to one another and helped and served one another. We should have a reputation of love. So I think I need to ask myself, and I think we all need to ask ourselves, is that what people are thinking about? Is that what people are thinking about you? And if it's not, there's the path forward. Okay? What do we do with everything going on in our world and the fears that we have and You know, we want to defend ourselves and defend our positions and resist. What should we do? As I have loved you, so you also must love one another. That's what I think Jesus would say. That's our path forward. Love one another. That's, for me, you know, I struggle just as much as anybody else with my own opinions and struggles and frustrations, and what do? That's how I want to move forward. That's what Jesus wants you to do. So rather than backing into a corner to defend your positions when you're with family, you know, think about it. You've had those conversations with family. My goodness, your own parents or your own siblings or your own kids disagree with you. What do you do? Rather than defending your positions when you're with family or at work or at church or on Facebook, I think Jesus wants you to lean forward, get down on your knees, and serve. Humble yourselves and show kindness. That's what Jesus would do. Washing the feet was only the beginning. And in his little interchange with Peter, you see him alluding to, you know, this foot washing is actually what I'm doing here is a lot about what I'm going to do tomorrow, when he willingly laid down his life and he had nails pounded through his hands and his feet and he was flogged out of serving his disciples. That's love, that's service, that's the ultimate picture that we, I believe, are to be drawn to when we think about how should I treat one another or treat people during this time. Washing feet was only the beginning, and he gave us that example the next day to follow. That's who Jesus was, right? That's who Jesus was. So the question is, how can we love people around us today? How can you love people around you today? I'm guessing you aren't going to wash anyone's feet. I thought about bringing a tub up here and washing somebody's feet, but I'm not going to this morning. You're probably not going to wash anyone's feet. But maybe you could give them a phone call to check up on them. Okay, there's certain things that we probably shouldn't do right now, and there's some restrictions going on and all of that, and so maybe we can't do big things, but we can do little things. So maybe give them a phone call and check up on them. Maybe you could stop by, pay them a visit. You know, if somebody's been irritating to you, I know I'm not the only one who's been irritated by people, okay? So if someone's been irritating to you, especially if they're from your family or the church family and you feel some resentment toward them, maybe you could walk over and ask them how they're doing. Maybe you could check in with them. Maybe you could bring over a plate of cookies or a loaf of bread. Ask if you could make them supper. You know, little things to cross the barriers, if there are any. Little things to show love. Little things to serve and show what Jesus did. And I think it would be helpful if Jesus had washed my feet and I had that stuck in my brain. Because I think as we walk away from this and as we think about the point Jesus was making, I mean, he did that so that they would remember that when there were difficulties in the relationships with the disciples, they'd remember, oh yeah, wow, Jesus washed my feet and he told me to wash their feet. I'm going to overcome these irritations and I'm going to take that posture. So we've spent a lot of time in this past year, a lot of time. We're coming up to almost the one-year mark, okay? We spent a lot of time focusing on a whole bunch of things that bring negativity and division. We need to stop going down that road and try another direction instead, and I think Jesus gives us that direction. Try spreading the love of Christ. Let us know that we are Christians by our love. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give away all that I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Father, speak to us this morning by your Spirit, not by a pastor, but by your Spirit. Soften our hearts. Lord, we deal with a lot of fears because of what's going on in our world, and we want to become kind of like the, I guess, a dog, if we think that way, cornered, snarling. That's how we want to go, and Lord, help us to back out, to move out of our corners and to look at the example that you gave us so that we will be different and we will be known not by backing into corners and defending and resisting, but we will be known by moving forward, leaning forward, getting on our hands and knees and serving and washing one another's feet. In Jesus' name. Amen.